It's On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harrison for Celeste Headlee. You know, when I was a kid, I'd visit my dad in Philadelphia. And one of my favorite memories of our time together, aside from watching wrestling and roller derby on TV, although we didn't call it wrestling, he called it wrestling. Wrestling, yeah, was of his rice pudding. He'd cook it, and it would have to sit and cool seemingly forever before I could dig in. I really love that rice pudding. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. My dad died in 1990, but whenever I see rice pudding on a menu, because I don't cook, whenever I see it on a menu somewhere, I think of him. So memories like that one for me are at the heart of the latest book by my next guest. Food writer Jonathan Barrett is author of the new book, Cook and Tell, and he joins me in our Atlanta studio. Jonathan, good to have you on the program.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm honored to be here.
And also with us is Amy Condon. She's the founder of the Refinery Writing Studio in Savannah and contributed her own story to Jonathan's book. Amy is also a regular on our weekly segment, The Breakdown. Amy, good to have you on the program.
Good morning, y'all. Good to talk to you.
It's good to have you here, Amy, and I've got some questions for you in a moment. But first, Jonathan, what a great idea for a book and these stories, the stories behind the recipes. I mean, where did the idea come from?
Well, my first book that I had was called Rise and Shine. It was a food memoir. And actually was on this program with Celeste two years ago talking about it. And I went on a book tour and met all these people from across the South. And at each stop at all these different book festivals or different speaking engagements, people would during the Q&A and then even afterward, would come up to me and tell me the stories about their family, just like you just shared with us about your dad and the rice pudding. You know, and it would be amazing just to hear all the things that that they had to share. And it was all so personal, and it was always usually so very warm. And so when I finished the book tour, my publisher said something to the effect of, you know, what do you want to do next? And I was like, well, I've already got it ready. I've already told my stories about food and growing up. Let me tell other people's stories. Let me share theirs. And that's how this book came about.
And you decided to, the approach, maybe talk about the approach. It was, you've got professionals.
Yes.
And you've got non-professionals.
Exactly.
So how did you determine that that would be your approach for this book?
Well, I did want a balance in that because there were so many people, too, that I didn't know that were professional chefs and authors and people that I met on the book tour that were fabulous, and they had wonderful stories. But there were so many other folks that I met and that I knew growing up or that I just knew personally that were fabulous cooks. They were only famous within their own kitchen or maybe within their own town. But the thing about it is when you look at some of these famous chefs that we have out there, they all came from very small towns, too, for a number of them. I mean, they had the roots that these same people that aren't well-known. So they got their start in their mother's or their grandmother's kitchen.
Yes, yes.
And so I just wanted to be able to share those stories from people that didn't have a – they weren't published, but they had fabulous dishes and they had incredible stories
to
share.
Well, speaking of sharing, I want you to share. I want you to read a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, this is a bit from A Cook and Tell, and set up the portion – of one of your stories that you're going to read for us.
Yes, and this particular chapter is contributed by Michael Morris, and Michael is one of a known author. He's an incredible Southern writer from Perry, Florida, he wrote A Place Called Wiregrass and Slow Way Home, and he's talking in his story about his maternal grandmother who helped raise him, and they had a very close relationship. And I'll read a portion of his story here now.
Okay, great.
People say that music has memory. We can be anywhere at any given time and hear a certain song that transports us to another place in our lives. For me, food has that same effect. Anytime I smell chicken frying, I return to my grandparents' house. My grandmother was called Mother because she declared she was too young to be called anything else when her grandchild was born. My favorite meal was not only Mother's fried chicken, but also a cream corn she'd cook on the stove, and then right before it was done, she'd place a skillet briefly in the oven. All these years later, I can still picture that plate of chicken, the skillet of corn, and a platter of freshly sliced tomatoes sprinkled with just the right amount of salt. The food was displayed like gallery art on a kitchen table ordered from a Sears and Roebuck catalog.
I wanted you to read just a portion of it because it puts you immediately right into the stories, right into the book. It's really good stuff. And Amy, you know, share with us what you wrote about, what you shared for the book.
Well, I wrote about my mom's chicken pot pie, which does not sound like a special meal at all, but it became our welcome home meal to each other because I moved away from Fort Worth, Texas in 1993. And when I would come home for visits, we would either go out for Tex-Mex to my favorite place in the Stockyards, or we would she would make me chicken pot pie. And what it became is our way of welcoming each other. So when she would come visit me, that would be the dish I would make for her, too. And as I got more confident in the kitchen, I would start putting my own spin on things. And sometimes I would hear her go, well, that's nice. or sometimes I still to this day hear her going, you need to be cutting those vegetables smaller. You know, like I can hear her. But the reason why I picked this particular dish for me is because there's this great line by Terry Pratchett, the writer, that something about like no man is dead while his name is still spoken. And I feel like my mom's chicken pot pie is the way of consistently speaking her name.
Wow.
Because when we celebrated her last birthday, it was her 70th birthday, most of the women in our family gathered here in Savannah to celebrate it. We rented a beach house because she had just finished her final round of chemo. And she was really, really weak, but we wanted her. She loved the beach more than anything. And so we made her birthday dinner, and we made chicken pot pie and her favorite chocolate cake. And then after she died that following December, and I came back from Texas from the funeral, the first thing I made was the chicken pot pie. So it's one of these dishes that brings great comfort, but it also just makes me think of home. So if I'm ever just sort of itching to be home and can't get there or something like that, or I have friends coming over, I just, you know, something that just makes them feel as warm and kind of like a hug as much as her, that's what I made. And so that's why I wanted to share that with other people.
Oh, man, that is so well told. That is so well told. So if you're just doing, if you're just joining
us. I'm a little teary, sorry.
Really? Well, while I've got you in this place, I'm going to follow up with another question then. So I guess I want to know what aspects of your mom's story, right? Her life, your relationship with your mom, it comes rushing back when you're actually on the occasions when you're in the kitchen and you actually cook the recipe.
My mom and I were such different personalities. She was very shy. In fact, most of her life, even if it was a family event, she wanted to be in the kitchen, whereas I wanted to be talking to everybody. She was really shy. But the one place we actually connected more than any place was over food. Like, we would plan trips based on where could you get the best hamburger between Miami and Texas, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So when I am making this dish, I'm always sort of thinking about, you know, I think of her hands more than anything because she thought the best thing ever was to do something homemade for somebody. Like, she made cakes for birthday cakes for people at this place called Samaritan House in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
If they were people basically, you know, in the last stages of AIDS, and she would make their birthday cakes for them as a volunteer.
Yeah.
And so I always think of her hands and how she would cut things in these tiny little cubes. And how she would stir, and I can always sort of hear her over my shoulder going, "Now you want to keep moving that. You don't want to let it sit; it'll get too thick."
Things
like that. So, I just always feel like she's there with me when I'm making this.
So that's Amy Condon. She's the founder of the Refinery Writing Studio in Savannah, and Jonathan Barrett is here. He is the author of the new book Cook and Tell, and we're talking about the stories contributed by professional chefs, non-professional people who love to cook, to this new book. And it's a terrific book, and I think you get a sense of that in listening to Amy. And Jonathan, Who is Nancy Fulbright?
Well, Nancy is a buddy of mine and Amy. She's originally from Macon, Georgia, and grew up right up the road from me. I'm from Perry, and as I said, she's a country, classic country music aficionado. She's a wonderful writer. She's a great cook, but again, she's not a professional cook. But she writes a story about her grandmother, Earlene, and her incredible fried peach pies. And I had so many people that contributed stories about fried pies. Actually, I have three combined in one chapter. But Nancy, and also is a PR executive, but she's a fabulous Southerner in terms of cooking and stories. Yeah. And she has a great story.
I want everyone to hear a bit of the story. So Nancy obviously contributed to the book, and she writes about her grandmother's peach tarts, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when Nancy's sister died a few years ago, she actually remembers making the grandmother's peach tart recipe. And here she is talking about what an emotional experience that was for her.
I ended up just standing in my kitchen crying. I guess I was thinking that, you know, my sister should have been the one doing it. But it's such a great way to, like, pay tribute and to honor my grandmother and the women who came before me in the kitchen. And I felt this real obligation to my Aunt Margie, the last surviving sibling, to really get it right. So I did feel a little bit of pressure.
You know, I actually feel like I want to button up that story a bit. So here is Nancy making the point that simply recreating her grandmother's peach tart, recreating that recipe wasn't quite enough.
I like to eat them like the next day after they've, you know, set out on paper towels and have it with a cup of coffee, and it's just like room temperature. But, you know, and that's the way, like, I remember eating it at my grandmother's. So it just, like, takes you back in time, and it connects you to that person again, even though they've been gone 20 years or however long they've been gone.
You know, Jonathan, the stories in this book will certainly resonate with everyone, I think, and probably for different reasons. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what stories had you sort of laughing, shaking your head in agreement?
You know, it's interesting. Probably every single one of them. I've got one from...
Mama Jenny comes to mind. What's the Mama Jenny? Yeah.
Big Mama Jenny is my buddy Wes Goodrow's grandmother. She was known as Big Mama, and I've got a whole chapter in here too called "Big Mamas: The South's Titled Nobility," and I say in the chapter too for folks that if you're not from the South, you might automatically think that Big Mama means that the woman was large. That's not necessarily so. It might just mean that she had an incredibly imposing personality. So, you know, she was just a strong lady, and that's one of the things that Martha Nesbitt from Savannah says about her Big Mama. She said she was one lady you didn't mess with, but Big Mama Jenny was my friend Wes Goodrow's grandmother, and made the most incredible banana pudding, and his story was about that, but more so than just the pudding was the fact that they had the type of relationship that, and he wrote about coming home. While he was in college, he would just leave college to campus some afternoons and go visit with his grandmother. They would walk the farm, or they'd go fishing, and the relationship that they had. And it was those wonderful stories. And it came about when I was talking with Wes about this and about the book, and he was telling me about Big Mama Jenny. I said, "That's a fabulous story. I really want you to share it." And he said, "You know, Jonathan, I'm not a writer. I wasn't really good in composition class in high school. You remember that?"
Yeah.
I said, "Wes, don't worry about that." I said, "Just sit down with pen and paper or sit at your keyboard, write out what you remember, write what you remember that was special. Put into your own words. Don't worry about where a comma is placed or what the composition looks like. Just write what you feel and remember." It was the most beautiful story when it was finished, and I probably only had to move maybe a period to do a little, change words, just very little in that. I mean, because it came from his heart. And so that's the thing that's special about these stories in here are the voice of the people that have written them. And so that's what I've left it.
Oh, intact. Amy's comes through. I mean, you know, I've read more than a few of them. And Amy, your voice really comes through in your writing when you had an opportunity to read some of the other stories in the book. What a terrific approach to talking about Southern cooking.
I feel like I know these people, even if I haven't met them. That's the glorious thing, is that you feel like, oh, already I've broken bread with them. I'm already in communion. And it feels like a big old potluck, in a way, that, you know, like we've got a big old heavy table full of all these dishes.
Yeah. Amy, thank you. And Jonathan,
thank you.
The book is Cook and Tell. I hope you read it. It's a terrific read. And thank you both. Thank you both. And that's our show for today. But we want to hear from you. We talked about how cooking can be a way to preserve family stories. Tell us about a recipe that holds pretty special meaning and memories for you. I'm Tony Harris, in for Celeste Headley. And for today, that's on Second Thought from GPB News. Have a great day.